This is the fantastic experience, Mr. GP. C Square's here, Minga's here. We're going straight to the professor. Kick some knowledge, professor.
Yo, we got to talk as men. We're trying to elevate our mind state and become better people. So in order to become stronger, you got to identify your weaknesses. So today, three things that make you a weak man. And we're going to start from the bottom to the top. Number three, first thing that makes you a weak man, if you have very limited physical capabilities, that's an obvious sign you're a weak man. So for example, hold on to your horses. This may offend some. Studies say the average man can do between 5 and 10 pull-ups. If you can't give me 5 pull-ups, you need to check your life. You can't give me 10 push-ups, you need to check your life. The average man can't even lift over 200 pounds. Only 17% of men can lift over 225 pounds. The good news about this is that this can change by you eating right, getting to the gym. I'm not going to give you a whole speech on that, but I got a bro. He threw out his shoulder. He pulled his shoulder muscle just opening up a cabinet to get some salt. Why? Because he had no muscle mass. Because this man does no push-ups. He's my dude, don't get me wrong. But he does no push-ups, no kind of exercise.
There's baseball players that have, like, broke a rib sneezing. Like,
I'm so glad you mentioned this, but let's be clear. An injury from being an athlete as opposed to an injury from you opening a cabinet are two totally different things.
I said sneezing.
So we're changing the total subject. But again, if you're an athlete, your injuries are totally different. But let me get to number two, what makes you a weak man. And thank you for interrupting once again, Mr. GP. We should give you a t-shirt. Thy shalt not interrupt. So two, what makes you a weak man? If you can't control your emotions. If you can't control your emotions. Now, this can make you a weak person in general. Now, we've all lost control of our emotions at times. We're not saying not to have emotions. I mean, God forbid you lose somebody or you take a loss. Of course, you're going to show emotion. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about that drunk uncle who comes to the party and he wants to fight, you know, his neighbors. He wants to fight his family. We're talking about, you know, that baby mama that's bitter, that baby daddy that don't want to see his kids. This is what we're talking about. These people who just lose total control and they take their emotions out on their kids or their spouse. And the most extreme cases are, of course, cases of violence. So if you're miserable and hate your own life to the point where you're going to make other people miserable, this is an extreme loss of emotions. And I'll throw one more thing out there for the dudes. We got to remember that anger is also an emotion. Because when I was younger, I thought it was cool to get angry. I'm getting angry. This is what dudes do, lash out. But I had to fall back and realize that getting angry also clouds the thinking and doesn't allow you to make proper judgments. So we got to check ourselves on that. So that's all of us. But if you're constantly doing it, you know, that can make you a weak person. Definitely weak man. Definitely a weak man. So coming to the number one thing, the number one reason that makes you a weak man. And I want you all to tell me if you agree with me. If you're a certified liar, if you are just a downright dirty certified liar, you are a weak man. Because as Scarface said, all I got in this world is my word, right? We ain't gonna go into details. But what is that? Bro, I've run into a series of people that just feel it necessary to tell me how much money they got in their bank account or in their Robin Hood. Like, yeah, man, you know, I just got like $300
in there. You wanna talk about your money like that, C-School?
Bro, listen to me.
He not talking about me.
Where I come from, you tell somebody you even got a stack in your bank account, you might get tied up. I don't know. Maybe right. I got PTSD from that. So you ask me how much I got in my bank account. I'm like, well, you know what? Mine's actually at a negative. The way my bank account works, money just keeps going out. So that's where I'm coming with it.
So number one.
Number one is if you're a certified liar, bro, I've had, and this goes for my dudes who are lying to females. I had one of my dudes, he was a compulsive liar. He told one female he had his red BMW outside and he didn't even drive. And this was a shorty I knew as well. And then she hit me later like, yo, dude told me he had a red BMW right outside, and I didn't even bother to look because he never had a car. And I'm like, yeah, you know, you gotta go physically touch it.
Oh, she knew he didn't have a car.
No, she didn't
she check. Found out.
He said, yo, I got the BMW outside, and she was mad. She didn't open the window shade to make sure there's a BMW outside. She just took his word for it.
Oh, I see. So there never was a BMW outside.
He's just like, wow. It's outside. The ride is all outside.
Right. All right. So
I kind of feel like, you know, if it's that important to you, you probably should have checked. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, if you really care.
I feel you on that BMW. One.
But we got, so.
I feel you on that one.
So number one is a pathological lie is, number right. two is the social can't bias. Control your emotion, baby mamas. And number right. three is you can't do push-ups.
Yeah, you can't open the cabinet without hurting yourself.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Limited physical strength.
I'm going to take issue with just the priorities, bro. You're telling me these, in your view, are the top three reasons that someone's a weak man.
This leads to all madness and chaos. This is what I'm telling you.
So I like the emotional one, the control. I think that's a real one. But where does provision come out, man? I think that if you're a man, call yourself a man, and you don't even provide for yourself and or your family if you have one, then you're failing in a lot of different areas, and it probably all comes down to your inability to challenge what life is throwing your way and overcome it. What would you say to that, bro?
So that's what number one covers. So if you are a compulsive liar, that means you're lying to your family, you're lying about your capabilities, you're lying about what you can provide. You're living in a fantasy world. If you're telling the truth, like they say, the truth shall set you free. So provision is going to naturally be a part of that, because that's going to be a discussion. Obviously, how are we paying the rent? How are we going to eat? And if you're truthful, you'll say, hey, you know, I don't make enough to pay all of this by myself. How are we doing it? 50-50, 60-40, 70-30. But if you're a compulsive liar, you'll just throw a little smoke bomb and be like, oh, yeah, I got it. Meanwhile, you're throwing all your money away on electronic gambling. Or maybe you've got another vice you're throwing their money away.
I think you might be combining a lot of things into that compulsive liar. Link, okay. Because you can.
Nah, you just don't like the way I flow, in my opinion. But go ahead, Mr. GP.
I mean, you know, if the flow is whack, the flow is whack. But you know,
but if it's on track, it's on track. That too.
I mean, Silk the Shocker had a deal. That don't mean he was a good rapper. So going back to my point, if you're a liar, that doesn't mean, you know, like being a liar and being a provider are two very different things. I think what C Square is talking about is about being a provider, and you're just kind of throwing that in there with the liar thing. I would agree with the emotional thing. I'll also push back on the physical thing, because there are a lot of people who have been disabled in some way, who have contributed a lot and have done a lot in taking care of families. So yeah, you want to be in good shape. Yeah, you want to do these things. Nothing wrong with being able to do push-ups, pull-ups, all that. But to say you're a weak man because you can't do that, we're not covering a lot of other areas that men need to be able to do.
No, it covers everything, and you just haven't realized that. And while you're trying to shoot down this wonderful theory, I'm going to bring you back to reality. Strength is important, and you don't want to take it to the point where you're manhandling or bullying people. You just want to make sure that when you're around, you can pick up the bags. I've seen plenty of men walking around there, women holding all the bags. Now, am I telling you that this is the only way to show you're a gentleman? No. But you can't be weak to the point where people don't feel safe around you. Because what happens then, your drink may become someone else's drink. Your girlfriend may become someone else's girlfriend. And I understand that if you have money, this can make up for a lot of this. However, it can't make up for your personal health. And if we're talking about adding years to your life, this is more important than anything.
All right, so finally, I'm gonna go in.
Bro, I was about to.
I'm gonna go in because
I was just loading up.
I'm gonna put you on the spot. Go ahead. So if I am a former soldier for this fine country, okay, and I, you know, due to an unfortunate turn of events, IED bomb, whatever the case is, and now I am maimed to the point where doing even a pull up is not within my physical capability. Are you telling us that that person, their man card is revoked
This is
because
this
they
is
have zero
this
physical
is
strength?
I'm going to quote Mike Tyson and say this argument is ludicrous. And the reason that is because we're talking about a hero. So when we're talking about a lack of strength, we're going to exclude athletes who may have been injured. You got injured on the field. I know teenagers who are having issues walking, but they were athletes. They got injured on the court, on the field, whatever the case. We exclude them. We exclude people who may have been born with disabilities, obviously. We're talking about people who choose to let their body turn into mashed potatoes. We're not talking about somebody who was in a car accident and can't make it out of bed. That, or God forbid, is a veteran. Like, come on, bro, let's use common sense.
All right, one more quick question. One more quick question. Minga, I'm gonna pull you into this. Minga, if a man or you know, a so-called man is unable to do pull-ups, push-ups, they're physically just not very appealing, but they have a yacht, they own properties in various states and countries. They literally telling you, listen, name whatever you want, Rolexes, Chanel bags, you know, Louis Vuitton, whatever. I got you. Is that a man or is that not a man?
That's a man.
Okay, I'm just saying that's just one woman's opinion.
Well, I'm gonna agree with you because being a provider is important. I mean, being able to say, "Hey, babe, I got you." This matters, but we have to remember this is not the position of we're gonna talk about close to 90% of the men in America. It's not realistic.
That's a good
So,
call.
what can you do? What you can do is keep yourself healthy. Right, so you could be around for your family, and you could run around and do the stuff you got to do, and hopefully, like I said, you won't get your drink taken when you go to the bar with your girlfriend and your wife.
Yeah, I don't know
So I'm
what
trying to look
bar
out for
you
you
go
too,
to. That's a good
where
pivot.
people just come and yap the drink out of your hand. But that's anyway. I don't think one thing that I think this is a problem with a lot of man talk. I think a lot of people always try to
Wait
take
a
the
minute, did
physical.
you just
That's
say
hold
there's
on a
a problem
second.
with man talk on the
Hold
Mantastic
on a second. Hold on a
Experience?
second. That's not what I said.
Like
That's you
contradiction, man. You
using
better
your Trumpian ears
swallow
to hear
your
what you want to
words.
hear.
Wow.
What I said was this is the problem with a lot of man talk, is that we always go straight to the physical as far as strength. And yes, you could be healthy. Yes, you should be able to carry bags and things like that. But real strength is mental. And most of the problems that you're going to have is going to be a mental struggle. We're talking about what happens if you lose your job? What happens if you can't afford your rent? You can lift as much as you want. You're
Yes.
going to have to buckle down and figure out how to solve these problems.
And
And
this
I
is
think
why I
that's where
said,
we need to
I
focus.
agree.
this is why I said the number one issue is if you're a compulsive, because think if you are that pathological liar, you live in a fantasy world. So you're not taking care of anyone or anything around you. So we're going into a selfish psychological state of being. And that's when you need to reflect. You can change this just like if you can't do five pull-ups.
I+IO.
Going back to the physical, it's for women too. Women should be able to do, the average woman should be able to do 3 to 5 pull-ups. Most of them can.
Minga, how
Hey,
many
Minga,
pull-ups
I
can
see
you
you.
do?
Okay.
Not a woman.
Oh, you're not.
What? Are we
Oh,
going non-binary? What's going on here?
music
All right,
licensing
anyway, so
reimagined.
men should be able to do between 5 to 10 pull-ups. But again, this is not to measure your character. This is a physical attribute. Now, when we go into, your ability to control your emotions and your ability to be honest and truthful, now we're talking about character, which is always more important than just physical aesthetics. But
Let me
physical
ask you a
aesthetics
question because I
imply
was
good
married
health.
to someone who was
Okay.
physically he who can do the push-ups easily,
Okay, now we crush the baby daddy.
and
Let's
did
do it.
not and lied. So what category do you put that person into?
Okay, so you said he was in good physical condition, but he lied.
Yes. So what was it
Okay,
that? Is he a hybrid?
so he's breaking rule number one. So you just answered it. So if he's breaking the number
Music
one rule,
licensing reimagined.
that tells you where you at with that. I think that
So,
was a
would you
period.
be a man in certain aspects and a weak man, like a strong man in certain
Yeah.
aspects?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. We can't paint everybody with one brush. You know, hey, you have people who have been, snipers in the military, and they had to take out, numbers of how many opponents, and they still have to come home to their family. It doesn't mean they're not
I
still
guess
caring, loving
I
fathers, and we can give that example, in many different ways.
So I think we're going to just leave that here. So, ladies, if you're watching, give your man an obstacle course and a lie detector test, and that should be all you need and nothing else.
That's
Thank you, Professor.
actually a very good suggestion. I'm okay. You said something I agree
Lindsey
with for once.
Gleason, reimagined.
Ah, this has been a fantastic experiences here, Mr. GP, Professor G, Miss Minga, and C Squared, as always, here to help you get your money right. Help him out, C.
All right, listen, family, we're talking about retirement planning today. All right, so how do I start this? Why investing for retirement is just the smart thing to do. And unfortunately, what I'm finding as I'm talking to a lot of the listeners, fielding a couple of emails and messages, is that there are a lot of questions here, and there's a lot of folks that may not necessarily be doing the right thing with their money. So if you're out here and you're making money, but not setting aside money for retirement, literally that's like frying a chicken with no grease. All right? You're not gonna get there. It's the cooking's not gonna be effective. So, your retirement is something you have to plan for. It's not just gonna happen. Things aren't gonna just fall into place. And if you bury your head in the sand, it doesn't mean it's taking care of itself. And I feel like that's what a lot of people are choosing to do, right? So you don't want that, or you just work until you're done working and you're done living. You can do it that way too. But if you want to retire, if you plan to retire, if you want to have something nice to retire from, you got to set aside money for your retirement. So how do you do it? There's five key ways to invest towards your retirement in some way, shape, or form. The first one, if your employer offers a 401k or a 403b, and hopefully offers a matching contribution. So what does that mean? If you're working somewhere and they say, hey, listen, for the first 3 or 5% that you put into the 401k or the 403b, we're going to match that dollar amount. That, ladies and gentlemen, is free money. But you only get it if you're putting in money into the retirement plan. So that's first and foremost. Take advantage of that free money. You may choose, some people choose to only put enough to get that free money, and then they put the rest of their money somewhere else. You can do that. But if you choose to put as much up to the max, which is basically every year it changes, if you put as much up to the max into the retirement, then you have the ability to really capture that tax advantage to
C
retirement, putting the
squared.
money into that 401k, 403b. Go ahead.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you have to be a full-time employee, right? You have to be a salaried employee in order to get this retirement benefit from your employer.
So it depends on the employer. Some employers do offer it as part-time, like 19 and a half hours a month, or excuse me, a week. They would offer it to you. So it really depends on the employer. But what I would tell you is this: if your employer does not offer the retirement plan, where you can take advantage of that matching contribution, or they don't offer a retirement plan at all, then you can still invest towards your retirement, and that's option number two. Two is like a 2A and a 2B. You can invest in a individual IRA, individual retirement account, individual IRA, or you can invest in a Roth IRA. Here's the difference. I'll try and do it as simplistically as I can. An individual IRA, you put money in, and as you put money in, your taxable income for the year is reduced by the amount you put into the individual IRA or 401k. Or you can put money in the Roth IRA. If you put money in the Roth IRA, you don't get a tax deduction the year you put the money in. But it's still gross tax deferred, just like it would in an individual IRA or 401k or 403b. But then when you pull it out of a Roth IRA, you don't have to pay any taxes then. The younger you are, the more compelling that opportunity is. Don't
All
take the
right, so
tax break
see,
today, take it later.
I
Go
gotta
ahead.
stop you. So you're talking about an individual IRA versus a Roth IRA. So this would mean you have money to put away into this. I'm thinking most of our audience, bro, they're the Uber Eats guys. They're the You know, I'm talking about the delivery guys, the Grubhub. Like,
We
bro,
also
do
have
they
people that
really?
make regular money and have regular jobs. Shout out to
Look,
the audience.
man, at the end of
Bro,
the day,
do people have this? Like, where, how are people going to have all this money, bro?
we're back to where we were at our first episode ever, fellas, right? At
Full
the end of
circle.
the day, if you do not have the discipline to spend less than you make every week, month, and year, to be able to then invest toward your future retirement, invest towards your future, emergencies, invest towards your future side hustles and opportunities to really level up. If you're not choosing to say, hey, listen, I make X, but I'm going to spend X minus, then that gap in between what you make and what you spend, if there is no gap, you're never going to be able to retire without
I'm saying
any money.
if we can't get to point three on the 5 points, how are
Let's
we supposed
go.
to be? How are we going to get to the
Let's
financial
go.
state?
Amen,
I mean,
amen, amen, amen.
Let's go.
So
can't get to
actually,
point
traditional
three.
IRA was 0.3, so I combined them to try and speed up some time because I saw Professor G was asking questions. I was just trying to rush it. So we did one, two, and three so far. Number four is just a traditional investment account. A lot of times they call it a brokerage account. All right, there's no rules to how you do it. You can invest in your own little stocks. You can invest in mutual funds. You can invest in what's called exchange traded funds or ETFs for short. You can just kind of dabble. You can listen to what your buddies say. You can set up a crypto account. You can do that. The bottom line is that money that you do pay taxes every year on your earnings, it does not grow tax deferred. The first three options grow tax deferred. What does that mean? That means you don't pay any taxes until you pull the money out. Taxes on the growth. So if you start investing today, you got $100,000 worth of growth 20 years from now. When you start pulling the $100,000 out, you have to pay taxes on it unless it's a Roth IRA. If it's a Roth IRA, you paid taxes on what you put in. It grew to $100,000. When you pull that $100,000 back out, you don't have to pay any taxes on it. That's the benefit of the Roth IRA. The fifth option is going to be, in general, what I would like to call passive income streams. That could be real estate that generates income. It could be a real estate investment trust, which is a type of investment that you can get income from. It could be a side hustle that you put some money into, and then it starts generating some income. Maybe your side hustle is, I don't know, making pillows with caricatures on it, right? And you selling them on Etsy. If that's your side hustle, that's your side hustle, and you take some money to invest into that side hustle. Get the supplies, start doing the work, and then as you start selling those pillows, you make some money back. So those are the five ways. 401k or 403b, individual IRA, Roth IRA. Number four is brokerage account, just where you invest, or your crypto account. And then number five is real estate or some form of passive income, meaning you don't have to put labor into it. It grows on its own. So those are the five ways. And so we've got to find a way to make this thing happen. So now I want to turn over to my co-host, right? Are you saving for retirement? Or how are you saving for retirement? I'm not sure who wants to answer first.
Well, let me cut off Professor G before he defends the professional
We got
dice
to get
game
in early.
players and go to Miss Minga because I think she has something she wanted to say. Go ahead, Minga.
I completely forgot the question that
Nigga,
Oh man,
I'll
this is
remind you
going
because we were
smooth.
talking about it
See,
during a
I was
break.
thinking of this
You were going to
because
ask
I
about.
remember, like, it's like
Okay.
I remember. So let's say if I retire with an X amount of dollars or whatever have you, should I take the location into consideration? Would I get a bigger bang for my buck, let's say in Texas or a southern state, as opposed to being here in New York?
Yeah. It's a great question. Aside from like the difference of seasons in terms of weather, it's a great question because one, the cost of living in different parts of the country can vary greatly. You live in New York City, you live in Manhattan, you have one of the highest cost of living in the country, right? And if you leave New York City or one of the five boroughs and then you transition to like a Charlotte, North Carolina, or even, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, or Central Texas, something like that, then your cost of living is going to go down drastically. That means housing is going to go, costs are going to go down. Gas prices might even go down. Just in general, everything's going to go down in cost. So that lets your retirement money last longer. On top of that, we have about seven states in the country that do not charge state income tax at all. So, for example, in a state like New Jersey, depending on how much money you make, it could be up to 11% for state income tax. So when you withdraw money from your 401k, your IRA, your what have you, I won't say Uncle Sam because Uncle Sam is the federal government, but that state entity is going to grab a piece of that and say you owe us for that money. But when you live in a state like a Tennessee, a Texas, a Florida, for three examples, I think Arizona is another one, they don't have a state income tax, and that also is going to let your money last longer every single year. So that's something to think about. Obviously, whether family is close by and there's other variables that come to play. Maybe you don't want to live on next to the ocean where, icebergs are melting and cities are disappearing. You got to weigh it all out and figure out
Wow.
what you want to do.
All right. One question. I have a 401k from several different jobs and in my current job. So, some advice I got years ago was when you get a raise, you should take a part of that raise and put it to the 401k. So, let's say you get like a 3% raise, you should take 1% and put that on top of what you're already contributing to the 401k. Is that sound advice, or like what percentage of that would you recommend doing if
So
you're able?
I love it. I love the advice. I think every year we should try to, if you're making more money, you should try to put more percentage-wise in your retirement savings, whether it's a 401k, 403b, individual IRA, Roth IRA, whatever it is. That's a big deal. Let me throw in one quick note for those of you who may be in transition. Economically, we go through seasons where people get laid off and your income is going to drop in a particular calendar year. Maybe you're leaving the workforce, you're trying to start your own company, big sacrifice, so you know you're going to make a little bit less money in a particular calendar year. That's a great time to do what's called a Roth conversion. That means take money that was put aside as a 401k contribution or as an individual IRA contribution, and then what you do is you take a portion of it or all of it and convert it into a Roth IRA. And if you're young enough, meaning like call it definitely under 50, if you're under 45, definitely under 50, let's weigh it out. If you're over 50, it probably doesn't pay off as much because that what you're the advantage you're trying to get, you don't have as much time to really capture it. But just to make it simple, what you do is let's say it's $25,000. You pull the $25,000 out of the tax deferred instrument that you do have to pay tax on when you pull the money out, and then you push it into a Roth IRA. Once it goes in the Roth IRA, when it grows, you don't have to pay any tax on the growth. The benefit is you do that in a year where you're making less money. When you take that, let's hypothetical $25,000 hit that you have to pay taxes on, it's not as painful because you're not making as much money that particular year. So that's a way to do it. It's something to think about it. People who are making a lot of money, it's a great decision to do because it's an opportunity to just basically have that money grow. Tax deferred, and then to pull it out tax free. So that's a little bonus feature in there. If you're making that kind of money, if you have that kind of transition lot in your
Well,
life, and you can take advantage of that.
I'll tell you why I am. I've always been a big believer in contributing at least 10%. I've got one of those tax deferred annuity plans. So, that brings down the amount of total taxes I'll pay over the year. So that's always a plus. But again, unlike you, Mr. C Square and Mr. GP, who think that a bunch of ballers are watching the show, with big rope chains around their neck. I'm thinking more about the single moms like Miss Minga, who I think Minga, how do you
Miss Minga
feel
has a
about
pension.
this? Like, is this stuff C Square saying to you realistic as a single mom?
The only thing I could say, I have a career that allows me to have a pension and that allows me to also put in 10% of what I get paid. If I didn't have that, I wouldn't really see this as, it wouldn't be a reality. For single mothers, to be, I mean, I don't know, it's hard. Life is hard right now for people. So,
So, I think everything, and I'm not trying to be, it's going to sound very insensitive what I'm about to say, especially after what you just
go
shared,
ahead.
because it's a real deal. But everything's hard. You know what I'm saying? Like, choosing to eat whatever you want and end up with poor health is hard because that poor health's gonna kill you. But going to the gym 3, 4, 5 days a week and putting in an hour and a half at the gym, that's hard too. Choose your heart. In this situation, hey, listen, tightening up the belt straps, maybe getting rid of the apartment you live in and moving back in with mom or dad, or moving in with a roommate who's also a single mom and we'll raise our kids together for 2, 3 years while we get our money right, that's hard. But you know what else is hard? Sitting by yourself in a house you can't afford or an apartment you can't afford, you know, and then not being able to put any money away for retirement, any money away for anything that's really important, emergency savings, everything's on a credit card. That's hard too. We have to choose our hard. And I'm saying, choose the hard that's going to pay the biggest dividends down the road. Man, that's what I'm saying.
So we're going to leave that here. And I would like to throw in that, you know, regardless of how Professor G tries to portray single mothers, they're not here in a rocking chair singing Negro spirituals. They're out there, they're working, they're making it happen. Same thing with our brothers. A lot of our brothers, they out here, they trying to make it happen. They need the advice the way they need the advice. So we're not going to focus on the professional dice gamers. We're not going to focus on the people that's selling the Air Gordons out of the trunk. We're going to focus on people that's trying to actually save some money. Mantastic Spurs.
Wait, no, you know, I'm going to just come back real quick.
The Mantastic
because
Sorry,
the whole thing is now you could say that you're going to focus on people who were given a good deck of cards, but in life there are people who are given a bad deck of cards and they don't have the same level playing field. I just want to throw that out there.
We
and that's
that.
The people I'm fighting for.
When life gives you lemons, you made your lemonade.
When
life gives you lemons, Mr. GP is like, here, take a lemon to the face. That's how he treats you. You deserve it. You don't work hard enough.
Hey, listen. You know what? There's always excuses. Some of those excuses are pretty darn good. But at the end of the day, they are just excuses. We got to go out and make it happen.
Facts. Make the money. Money don't make you.
You know what someone said? They said,
not the Mantastic Experience.
They said the deadline for all excuses was yesterday.
Facts. Is this the Mantastic Experience, guys? Is it?
Yes, Mantastic.
This is the Mantastic Experience. All right. It is I, Mr. GP, joined as always by Professor G. We got C Squared, the Money Man, and Miss Minga, our expert for everything female, social, and emotional. And we are starting off with a special guest. We are going to be talking to Mari. Mari's going to tell us what's happening out here in the streets as far as this dating, this love game for the young ones. Mari, tell me something about, tell the people about yourself.
What's going on? Glad to be here. So yeah, my name is Mari. I'm a college student. I go to Purchase. I'm on a break right now, but I do have my last year, the last two semesters. I'm almost popping out of there. 21, so you know, part of the club officially, finally. Yeah, as of right now, like, you know, I'm just kind of just enjoying my break, trying to chill, whatnot, just be productive here and there. You know, I take part in boxing, I do music on the side, learn how to DJ and stuff. So yeah, just stuff here and there, just to be productive.
So sounds like you got your hands full. So salute to you as almost graduating college and everything you do. For sure. So, but we want to talk about this. We've been doing a few segments where we try to figure out what's happening out here. How is this dating scene for this next generation and the generation coming up behind y'all? So tell us a little something about where you're at as far as dating and relationships.
As far as this generation going, it's crazy. Like it's way different. I don't really mess with it too much. Like, I mean, I'm already in a relationship. Like, I'm cool. I got a girl already. So I'm chilling. Okay. But as far as like how folks around my age or younger kind of doing it now, it's like there's all these apps or people kind of got a lot of things messed up as far as expectations and how certain partner roles should go, how they should move as far as them being young and exploring, or as far as how they should be committed in a relationship and all that. Like it's mixed up. It's not really the same how it is before, and I sound like I'm old, but it's just I'm not really a part of it personally. Like I don't really indulging in none of that stuff. It just never made sense to me. So
Right, so you say you were in a relationship. How long have you been in a relationship?
2 months so far. We just hit 2 months.
Okay, and how long did it take you? Well, let's not even go there. How did you find your girl? Like, what were you doing where you met your girl?
I was honestly just minding my business for the most part, but there was a new group of friends that I kind of started hanging around, and she was a part of that group, and we were just pretty much just talking over time, just getting to know each other while we was in that group, and we kind of just clicked up eventually. That's kind of how it was.
This sounds old school, like you was just hanging and kind of clicked, so there was no swiping right, swipe left, up, down, none of that. It was just...
Yeah, nah. And the funny thing was, I wasn't even like looking for nobody. I was kind of just minding my business. I'm like, you know what, like, there's no point on really wasting much time or trying to get into all that. I'm like, you know, let me just deal with my own stuff. Like, let me just deal with my own mess. I already got a lot that I'm dealing with as far as just getting through the semester and just trying to make sure my academics are right, making sure my health is all right. So I'm just kind of doing that. Just pretty much put more focus and priority on myself. And then she kind of came along and just like, I guess, you know, this person seemed interested to talk to and then just kind of how it went.
Okay, so what were some attributes that she possessed or qualities that made you feel that you should be in a relationship with her?
So I can go first. She's very communicative. So she knows what she wants. She's straightforward as far as, you know, just like making things known, making things clear. Like when she confessed like a couple weeks later, like I wasn't expecting it. I'm thinking, okay. That kind of took me by surprise. I didn't think she would actually know, like, make that move, but just let me know. Or just the way how, I guess, with her personal experience on how she went through her life and whatnot, let you know she's like, she kind of knows how she has experience on like previous relationships and whatnot, how relationships that go and whatnot. So she doesn't have crazy expectations on how a guy's supposed to go. Like, you know, she's supportive. She's like, you know, she'll deal with her things on the side, but still make time to see me and to speak to me and to spend time, whatever. It's not a crazy thing. Like, you always got to be clingy or codependent on each other when they're like super reliant on each other's presence and everything. Like, we still have a sense of, like, she has a head on her shoulders, if that makes sense. That's just to sum that all up. Like, we know we still have our own priorities to tend to, but we still make time for each other at the end of the day.
Because some of the previous guests that we had that spoke about dating, they said they felt the pressure of having to always pay in the beginning. Like, they just, you know, they feel, you know, discouraged in terms of dating because they have to pay for the meals all the time, which is costly. Did you feel like you experienced that in the beginning? Was that something that you experienced or no?
Not necessarily. No, it wasn't really much like that. It was more like we were just getting comfortable with each other. So just gaining each other's trust. Just overall just getting comfortable, just getting to know each other, number one. And pretty much obviously just with getting to know each other, that also kind of just determines whether I want to be with this woman or not. Eventually, it was just more like, okay, like she don't seem crazy out of order with things she's expecting as far as what she wants in a relationship as far as being with me. So it's like okay, yeah, she, again, it kind of goes back to just communication and just observing her attributes and how she is around friends, how she is with herself and all that. And yeah, let me
come in here because I want to do a little myth busting, because we hear a lot about the younger generation. You guys aren't as physical as we were in our day. So you guys don't kiss as much. You're not rushing to the bedroom. Is there any truth to any of this?
Well, I'm in college.
Okay.
I'm in college. So it's a whole different story being on campus. You know, you got parties here and there. You got people with different class grades, folks doing their own craziness or whatnot, indulging this, that, and the third, with all the substance abuses and whatnot, or what's it called, hookup culture. I don't know if you heard of that. So I kind of hook up and explore and just go with whoever, talking about body counts, this, that, and the third. It's like...
I'm talking about not really for body counts, but if you're in a relationship, like how soon are you getting physical in the relationship? Like, how soon is it like, okay, that's my girl, we're sexually active, we're doing whatever in the bedroom? Like, how long is that typically?
I would say probably maybe like a matter of weeks or so. Because as far as online, it took a while until she felt comfortable and she was, you know, she had that trust in order to actually feel ready to do something, just rush into the process like in a matter of days. So it definitely took some time as far as that.
This might get a little personal, but is condom still a thing? Is that like a big thing? There was a big rush when we were kids. Like, is that something that's still prevalent?
Well, yeah, definitely. Definitely. You can't, and with the parents that I have, well, you know, they hammer that in for them. Like, look, make sure you do it because a lot of these girls be crazy and all that. So I'm like, oh, yeah, keep that in mind. And seeing it for myself of how, like, some of these families are, oh, yeah, no, definitely.
Okay. Like,
definitely. So how similar are you with this person and how different are you in terms of culture?
I guess similar is as far as things like relationships, like it's being just traditional in a way. Just, you know, we get to know each other over time, and the more comfortable we get, the more trust that we have, you know, the more that we just, the more we can be ourselves without necessarily having to be judged or feel offended or feel obligated to do this or that. It's like, you know, that's pretty much just all it is. Like, you know, just getting to know each other, and just let things take time, let things take its course. There's no need to rush. There's no need to jump to this and jump to that or feel the need having to do so just because that's just the social etiquette or whatnot. Like, you know, we don't have to do all that. It's just nothing's a rush.
What's neat is that there's so much so much physicalities going around with between men and women, and now it's just situationship. So it's so interesting to me that you're actually in a relationship. So how did that happen? Like, you just said, can you be my girl? Is that what you asked?
Yeah, well,
how did it become a relationship?
Well, believe it or not, and it still surprised me to this day, she actually confessed to me first that she liked me. Again, she visited my dorm one night, and I was like, you know, we were just talking for a bit, and then she kind of just she dropped the news, and I was just like, oh, like, for real? And I didn't really believe it at first, because I'm like, relationships in the past, so at least what I dealt with personally, it's just, I don't really trust in that. It was like, if a female was to make the first move or say something like that, I would kind of assume, like, it's a prank call, like, it's some sort of, like, trick you're playing on me to try to get a rise out of me or something. So when she said it, it was like, I didn't believe it at first, but just from body language alone and how, I guess, she spoke to her other friends about me and what I'm hearing from my own friends, too. They're like, nah, she's serious. And, like, she's actually serious about this. So they heard it from her also, and she was taking the time to tell me after. And they know me. They know me. Like, I'm skeptical when it comes to that. So to kind of hear it firsthand from her and then to also kind of see that, it's like, okay, it started to seem more and more of a truth. And eventually, feelings on my side started to develop, and then we ended up making it
official. Let me ask you this, Mari, if I'm hearing correctly. When you found out she liked you, is that when you started to like her?
Nah, I did. I also, like, over time started developing feelings, but I wasn't too sure. Like, I didn't want to rush anything or say nothing, and then they would have been like, oh, sorry, I don't feel this way, or hell no, or whatever. It's like I kind of just kept them low and mellow. Like, I didn't really want to express them too much like that, just in case if I was getting ahead of myself or if I felt like I was getting carried away and it wasn't really as reciprocated like that.
And is this based on you having your heart broken before? Like, what's led to you to be hesitant? Okay, tell me about that. What happened, dog?
I'll say, back then, as far as previous relationships, it's kind of been just more like one-sided attachments for me. So it's like I've always caught feelings for this person, but it hasn't really been the same like that. Or
that sound like C-Square's department right there. Go ahead, bro. The nice guy. go ahead, man.
Exactly that. Because, like, obviously, like, you hear things from the past, like, you know, being nice, you know, make sure you treat the person right and doing this, that, like, you know, you think you have everything correct, and then you actually see that, or you put it to the test, and you realize things are not exactly how you hear it. Like, things ain't really as it seems. And of course, of how when you know you go on forth in life, things change around you, and as far as the new generation, how things go, it's like, you know, things are definitely not like how it is, or at least with certain people, and the experiences is different with everybody. So not everyone does the same thing, but not everyone is about that similar style as far as approaching somebody and getting to know them. And it's like a lot of things is just rushed or forced, or certain people come into the back off, or they're like, they don't really, or like if something seems legitimate, they won't really go for it because maybe
so people don't really say how they feel.
Yeah.
Like, okay. So one thing that a few guests have told us is that the women are more aggressive. Women are more masculine moving right now. Would you agree with that? Is that something that you notice while out there in the dating world?
I'll say yes and no. Like, yeah, there's definitely those that they'll be more masculine and everything. But I think it just comes more from a sense of them having to be strong and independent and do things on their own. So they've become well accustomed to having to do things independently, and they stick with doing that because the last time they've been reliant on someone to do something for them. They've been let down or heartbroken repeatedly. So they just say, like, I'll just take it upon myself, and then they take the initiative of doing whatever, or they'll probably have that more masculine side to them. They're more showing their feminine colors because it's gotten to that point with certain repetitive situations in their past. At least that's just how, like, that's my personal take on it, just from what I've seen throughout, like, the past weeks, months, years, days, and just with certain females, how they are, how they kind of...
You got women trying to mansplain to you.
Yeah.
Do you find that black women behave more, like, more masculine than other women, or can it be something like that, do you think?
Well, do you know, have you dated multiple races? I guess that would be the question first, right?
Right.
Well, yeah. Well, I didn't really date multiple people, but it's just more like, again, it's been more like a text, like just feelings here and there, but they never really gone or escalated anywhere. But
okay,
as far as black females.
So you're all about your sisters. There it is, Minga. Well, it's about the sisters.
I mean, I was kind of more of a Latina person, not gonna lie.
my bad. I mean, you deal with those comments from so, the girls.
So Mari, I wanna circle back on something you said earlier about how she had approached you and kind of said, hey, listen, I'm kind of feeling you. And then you were like, oh, wow, I didn't realize. So were you exclusive from the start with her, or were you kind of also talking to a few other women and then at some point in time you became exclusive, and then vice versa? I want to hear what your perception of how she was, whether she was exclusive from the start, or at what point in time did you guys become exclusive on either side?
Well, as far as how we managed how that went, I wasn't really talking to much of the females like that. It was more like, oh, these people seem interesting, maybe I could, or maybe I shouldn't, or they already have their person at their wits. So I wasn't really paying too much mind. Like, I kind of started, like, stepping away from that, like, kind of just backing off. Because I'm like, you know what? A lot of this is irrelevant. It's a waste of time. There's no point right now. But it's more like once I joined that friend group, like I mentioned from before, and she was a part of that, it was more just, like, I just kind of gravitated to her more. As far as individually, the way how I am with when it gets to meet new people, especially a collective, I'll try to get to know people individually, so know how they are personally before eventually just jumping into being part of that new collective. Because I don't know how everybody's like, and I don't know if I'm gonna get along with anyone like that. So I'll try to just personally go around to a few people. So I kind of started with her first. There's, like, you know, it's just one time I was really in the mood of interacting with everyone, but she still kind of approached me and was just like, hey, everything all right? You want to go on the wall, talk somewhere? And I was like, sure, why not? And that's where it kind of started, just off of or reaching out, just making that approach of wanting to talk to me, although I wasn't really trying to speak.
See, what I like about what you did, you know, that's what my father used to tell me, you know, make sure you love the woman that loves you first. I mean, this is what he used to say. So
what I want to know is if you were jumping in the tub, how many of these people in this friend group did you take a bath with? I think the crowd needs to know that.
How did we escalate this quickly? What just happened here?
That was very, very creatively phrased. Congrats, Mr.
GP. I'm just wondering what just happened.
Nah, we're just messing around. So, yo, we're going to end it here. Mari, we appreciate you coming on. This has been the Mantastic Experience.